When Gareth Davies was 20 years old, he was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, and he knew that eventually he would lose his sight completely. But Gareth got on with his life, living with a visual impairment, until in his late 30s, his sight really started to deteriorate, to the point now, 10 years later, that he currently only has 10% of vision. Now, this hasn't held Gareth back. Despite going through all the stages of sight loss, he works, he enjoys photography, and later this year, he'll be part of a team making history as he competes in the first ever VI Rugby World Cup in Japan. And Gareth joins us now. Hi, Gareth.
Hi.
Now, tell us a bit about VI Rugby, first of all. How does it differ to mainstream?
Okay, it's played in a sevens format, which people in who know rugby might be familiar with. So seven aside instead of 15 aside. It's a non-contact form, so there's no actual tackling as such, again, as there is in mainstream rugby. And that's mainly because we wouldn't see those tackles come in. So that can be, that would be quite dangerous, really, especially at speed. And then the only really other sort of differences with the ball, there's some sort of, they rattle slightly, so it has an acoustic element to it. So those are the main differences, really. Apart from that, it's exactly the same.
So how do you make progress then down the pitch then? You're still obviously making your way up and down the pitch.
Yeah. Again, I think it's because a lot of, for me, for example, I've got RP and I've got about 10% vision left. So we're obviously physically just doing, we can still see a little bit. In terms of getting up the pitch, it's like rugby league, where you have the ball six times. So it's, if you get touched by an opposition player, you have to put the ball down. That counts as one move, and it goes again. And so you have six touches, then you have to give the ball over to the other side. So the idea is that you score a try within those six phases.
Do you know what? I think I've learned more about rugby from you than I ever have over the years of watching it.
All right, okay, thank you.
It sounds very civilised.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, rugby's a funny game, isn't it? It doesn't look civilised, but it kind of is. It's quite a, you know, old-fashioned gentleman's sport, where it looks really rough, and it can be. When we say it's not contact, you still have those collisions, which personally I quite enjoy. But it's, you know, there's a real sort of sense of sort of camaraderie between both teams. And a lot of sportsmanship, whatever we say these days. So yeah, it's really good fun as well. That's obviously the critical part of it.
Do you still do the whole goal kick thing as well?
Yeah, at the end. Yeah, if you score a try, one of the players will take a conversion.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's another slight difference as well. We have inflatable posts. So again, if we accidentally run into them, it doesn't hurt. That also means a game can be played anywhere. You can just take them along, inflate them, and you've got a pitch.
And you can also move them when the person's kicking them.
Oh, I never thought of that. I'll have to remember that one. Move them closer.
So, you know, we've spoken before, and if you'd like to hear Gareth's story, just head to Audio Boom or iTunes and check for Gareth Davies. But we've talked about the struggles that you had and the phases that you went through. What drew you actually into VI rugby?
Well, I've always played rugby since I was about 11 years old, and I played to a pretty high standard, where I was on the, as a teenager or into my sort of very early 20s when the RRP was discovered. I was a county captain, county under 18s, under 19s and under 21s captain for Oxfordshire in England. And at that time as well, I was sort of doing pre-season training with Bath Rugby. And that's when the RP got discovered, which prevented me from driving, which then really kind of like, because of where I live geographically, that prevented me from going to what are now Premiership clubs. Because I had the ability at the time, and I couldn't rely on my parents, that's not a fair sort of comment, but just logistically I couldn't get to these big clubs. So some of the boys who I was playing with at the time, they went off to Bath, Northampton. One of them ended up in the World Cup winning England squad when they beat Australia in the World Cup final some years ago now. So in answer to your question, I've always played rugby. I've always loved it. But then I kind of like dropped out of it into my mid-20s. I think RP and then life. Plus, I got a really serious knee injury, which was quite quite an impact on playing. And then the opportunity came completely out of the blue. I'd never heard of VI rugby until probably this time last year. And here we are now.
Who are you representing? Is it Team GB?
It's England.
It's England, right? Okay.
Yes, which is living in Cardiff is a bit of a tricky one.
I was thinking that actually. So, is there a VI Scotland rugby team as well, and a Welsh team and an Irish team?
Okay, not yet,
Not
but
yet, right?
there's big plans for that to happen. There's a charity behind VI Rugby called the Change Foundation, who are based in London, and they've really sort of created and developed the game here, and they've got good links in New Zealand, and Japan and Italy. So on mid-August, myself and people from the Change Foundation have a meeting with the Welsh Rugby Union and the Cardiff Blues, with a view of starting a Welsh team. And then really within the next 4 to 5 years, we're looking to have a Six Nations rugby competition going up. So there'll be a VI team from Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France, and England. So they're really sort of positive about growing the sport to just to give guys and girl women as well just the opportunity to re-engage in rugby, which is something that we kind of lose when our sight goes.
Has there been much interest so far?
Certainly in Wales there has been. It's kind of like one step at one country at a time, if you like. But I'm really sort of confident and positive that there will be sufficient interest to get that Six Nations going within the next 2, 3 years.
Yeah, it sounds exciting, especially to be in right at the beginning of it. So tell us about the actual Rugby Cup tournament then in Japan. Where's that been held?
It's been held in Tokyo, in the capital. And the games we're playing are actually in the main stadium. So it would be like Tokyo's version of Murray Field or the Millennium Stadium. So yeah, that's where it's taking place.
Are you excited about it?
I am. I'm increasingly excited about it. It's been a long process. We had the England trial back in March, which is probably the physically one of the most toughest things I've had, because they wanted to test us under how we react under fatigue and stress. I'm a really fit guy, but that was really pushing my boundaries. So since then, it's been just sort of increasing the fitness. But now it's only a couple of months away, and we're getting all the plane tickets sorted and your itinerary. Yeah, the excitement is certainly increasing.
What do you actually get out of playing VI rugby, would you say?
That's a good question. Well, obviously, I have a passion for it. I think when we're on the pitch, we don't consider ourselves VI because you're playing against other people who have, eye conditions. We're just, in this context, 17 guys playing rugby. So in a strange way, it takes the VI thing out of it for that moment. That 20 minutes, that 40 minutes, we're just doing something we love. So that's a real big factor. I love the camaraderie within the team, just the banter that we have and the daft conversations and that kind of thing. But also for me, it's the focus on fitness. I've found that really helped me deal with my sight loss. And so it's given me a goal and a target to train towards.
Yeah, because I think sometimes with sight loss, even being involved with sport, still can sometimes be a bit of a lonely experience. Where I can imagine that this would be really good from a social networking point of view of meeting people and being out there and in a group of people.
Absolutely. I think for me, with sight loss and certain sort of life changes, you do become disconnected from society. And it's very easy, I found anyway, for myself to slip into sort of being quite lonely. Particularly within my role, I work at home as well. So when I'm not traveling, etc. So this really it reconnects you with people. It introduces you to people from all different parts of the country, who've all got different sort of jobs or different careers or different things going on. That reconnection and that whole social network is fantastic. And that's one of the main things I'm looking forward to is just 2 weeks getting to know a group of people, And who knows who we'll meet over there as well, and then the ongoing connections from that. So.
No, it sounds like a fantastic opportunity, although it's going to take a lot of work. What would you say to somebody else who is listening to this now and thinking, do you know what? I feel like a challenge. I would love to get involved with it. Where would you start?
If people want to get involved, there are two things. One is to get in touch with the Change Foundation, with a gentleman called Alex Bassett. He's known as Bass. They're based in London, and they're the guys that they're the organisation behind the blind the blind rugby. Also, you could look where you live. So, for example, in Wales, it would be contacting the Welsh Rugby Union. They have community development officers who look to develop disability-related sports. So, for Scotland, that'd be the Scottish Rugby Union. Ireland or Northern Ireland, that would be the Irish Rugby Football Union. Or people can always contact me, and I can always pass on information or have a chat if people are interested in VI rugby. And they can contact me at RNIB at gareth.davis@rnib.org.uk. And I'll do what I can to help. So it's Gareth, GARETH dot DAVIES at RNIB.org.uk. And I'll try and give you suggestions. I can't promise anything, but I'll do whatever I can to help. I can certainly promise that.
Yeah, let's get this thing going. It sounds really good. I think, that Six Nations thing you're talking about, that sounds like it'd be really exciting.
It would be, and also for me to play for Wales to beat England would also be something.
The other thing I was going to ask you, I know in blind football, it's deadly silent when plays on the go. Is that the same with the rugby?
Absolutely the complete opposite. It's very, very loud. It's a lot of shouting, a lot of communicating. In rugby, each move is very often is planned and prepared. So there's lots of different calls, lots of different codes. And I think really, we need the communication to know where people are as well. And that's also when you're attacking with the ball, but also in defence, it's very, you're shouting, calling players to different sort of positions and things. So it's really loud.
Well, I'd like to get involved just as a referee.
Yeah, that sounds great. And hope I'll be from Japan as well. I'll be doing a lot of vlogging, so sending video posts through to RNIB's Facebook page and their Twitter account, so people can keep abreast of how we're getting on over there.
Well, Gareth, we wish you the best of luck for this. I know you don't need luck, but it sounds exciting, and I look forward to getting a catch up with you when you come back.
Absolutely, or even when I'm there, I'll be happy to do that.